Hiya, folks, it's your old pal Dr. Freddie Gilman here at the Full Face Emporium in Innsmouth. Ha! Today we're having a sale! Golly wowzers, ain't that just a hoot? You can buy any face you want. The black faces are 75% off, and the white faces are 65% off. Fresh and still bloody. A product so gosh darn fresh you can still hear the soul-wrenching cries of the victims down there in my punishment basement. Golly wowzers, you can come down and you can try on a face for free. Ah, and you ladies know how good fresh spilled blood is good for the complexion, eh? So come down, and all you youngins, don't you dare fret, for there's a wonderful playground right at the front of the store, right there, made out of human bones. There's a wee bit of flesh on it, but don't worry, the buzzard should get that any time. And if you happen to be a wee bit peckish, all you can do is just, you know, rip that old flesh off them bones, and clean it with your long tongues. Come down, boys, there's a free coffee shop. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, a free coffee house, managed by grand old Matilda herself, the 16 booed wonder of Innsmouth, ready to serve you a free cup of joe for one day only here at Uncle Freddy Dr. Gilman's Faceful Emporium in Innsmouth. Don't worry, you will love it. You will learn to love it. Come on down to Dr. Uncle Freddy Gilman's Faceful Emporium here in Innsmouth. We got everything you want. We got all the types of faces. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, a grand old change will happen to us all one day. Some of the older folks are starting to change and return back to the sea, like we all will one day. But that still doesn't mean you can't wear a human being's face over your own hideous bitch-like ball. And remember, if you buy three faces or less, you get a free scalpel. Come on down to Uncle Freddy Gilman's Faceful Emporium here down in Innsmouth. You can wear a person's face, man. It's gonna be awesome. God, it's getting hard to breathe normal air now. It'll be changing soon.
Uncle Freddy, Dr. Gilman's Faceful Emporium.
That's me!
Transmissions from Innsmouth, the Conqueror Worm Podcast.
And salutations, all you boys, girls, ladies, gentlemen, and of course all my transgender and trans species listeners. This is your friend and compatriot Milan Jeftik here, and I'm here with my family at the local circus that arose from the sea, as I'm told. Was it the sea?
It was the mists, honey.
The mists, that right. I've come to this mysterious mist circus. With my family, there's a lot of people here, and we're just gonna try and enjoy ourselves.
Honey, this isn't a very good idea.
Oh, sweetheart, don't be that way.
The clown was masturbating outside your window at 12 a.m.
Oh, honey, that must have been some sort of newfangled advertisement technique. Don't be so misjudging of people.
He was going to tear our faces off if you let him into the house.
Oh, honey, I'm sure he would have just had a cup of coffee and left. Clowns aren't that evil. Oh, don't look at me that way.
Look, all I'm saying is that I don't think it's safe for Billy.
Honey, don't worry about it. Nothing bad will happen to Billy or you under my watch. Just enjoy yourself. It's a circus, for goodness sake. What's the worst that can happen here? I mean, there's clowns and people in long, flowing scarlet robes with large conical hats with bells on. You know, all our neighbors are here. They're walking around eating cotton candy without a care in the world. Honey, don't worry. Just relax and enjoy the show.
But,
honey, don't worry about it, okay? Just go get some popcorn or, you know, the show's about to start. And, like, go check out the freak tent. I'll be joining you in a minute.
All right. I love you, Milan.
I love you too, sweetheart. Later tonight, baby, I'm gonna do things to you.
All right, I guess you're right. I'll see you in the freak tent.
All right then, sweetheart.
God, Dad, gross! Stop being so sexually explicit!
Oh, yeah, sorry, everyone. I'm also joined by my sweet son here, strapped to my chest in one of those weird baby-carrying harnesses.
And about that, Dad, I think it's a little undignified for the bringer of the apocalypse to be seen in a baby-carrying harness. And besides, aren't I getting a little bit for this stuff, Dad? Come on.
Oh, come on, sweetheart. I know you're growing larger and larger, but I at least wanted one day where I carried you strapped to my chest in a dark midnight circus. I love you, son, and you're growing up too fast for me.
I know, Dad, but come on. I don't think this is a safe place.
Oh, not you too. Look, you got Jeremy here, Jeremy the Night Gaunt, and Diego the Gimp Boy here on the leash, both of them, to protect us. I mean, if somebody tries to hurt you, Jeremy will just attack and rip them apart. And I guess Diego would take any blows that are meant for us, I suppose. I don't know, I'm sure he can be useful. Isn't that right, Diego, you fucking Gimp Boy bastard?
Yes, Master. I am yours to command.
That's right. But look. Nothing bad will happen. This is the circus. I mean, the happiest place on earth. Look at that big, big top. I mean, it's huge with its yellow and red colors. And God, there's a lot of red on that tent, isn't there? Anyway, let's go meet your mother at the freak show tent. Anyway, everyone, I'm here with my family. And, well, the circus kind of arrived out of nowhere, really. I mean, besides that weird marketing campaign with clowns kind of standing outside of people's windows at night and masturbating. But, you know, it's weird because, from what I hear, the people that actually let in the clowns couldn't really make it to the show for some ungodly reason. But, you know, well, you know, we here in Innsmouth, we don't judge. We just, you know, we're just here to enjoy the show. It's just a nice, calm, family evening for us today. Oh, and just to enthrall you a little bit more with my wondrous tunes, let's describe this place. Billy, what do you think?
Dad, I really don't want to be here.
Now, come on, don't be silly. Let's just describe this wonderful circus for the good people, just so we have something to do once we get to the freak show tent.
They're men, faceless men, in large suits, incredibly large and lanky men, that stride in multicolored colors, all throughout the circus, handing out balloons, balloons of unnameable color. By the way, Dad, I want a balloon. I want that weird orangey silver one.
All right, then. Hey, sir! Yes, you. Can I please have that pinkishly silvery purple one that you're holding? That big one? All right, thank you. Here you go, son.
Dad, I think the balloon is sentient. sending telepathic images into my head. And I think it may be made of skin, Dad.
Okay, come on. It's just a balloon.
It has a face, Dad.
There's just no pleasing you, is there, Billy? Anyway, my turn. There are large tents that are weird. I look at them with my eyes, and my eyes tell me that they're not tents at all, but weird structures that resemble tents, and that they are black and silvery in nature. But my mind tells me that they're actually nothing more but average circus tents. And so there's this weird, disconcerting double vision whenever you actually look at the structures that the carnival has set up for far too long. Your eyes begin to itch from the inside out, and it feels like a weird insectile fetus is forming in the middle of your eyeball, and it strives madly, scratching its way out, and your eyes bleed. The tents, they are of a certain color. It's weird. That's actually one bad thing about this carnival. There's this a really uncomfortable double vision when you look at the circus tents for far too long. And the largest one, the big top, it's weird because I look at it and I see a big top, but also I see this large thing, this large insectile thing with eyes, lots of eyes. And these pincers and tentacles and eyes and little legs all over it. Huh. Oh no, it's just a big top. Don't worry about it. My eyes were just playing tricks on me. Here we are at the Freak Show tent, and let's walk in. And you know what, before we walk in, how about you finish up and describe one more little detail about the carnival for the listeners, child. My sweet, sweet child, Billy boy.
Oh, Dad, stop it! Stop it, Vine! The number of clowns has increased since we first came in here. I mean, in the beginning there were only a few clowns. Now it seems that the whole crowd are clowns. Dad, I think that the citizens are being assimilated into the clown.
Here we are then, the Freak Show tent. And look, there's your mother. Wave to her, Billy.
Hi, Mom.
Sir?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, you've read about it in newspapers, now shudder as you observe the very eyes
that shred presenter kind of looks like you.
I give you the average man. Physically unremarkable, it has instead a deformed set of values. Notice the hideously bloated sense of humanity's importance, the club-footed social consciousness, and the weird optimism. It's certainly not for the squeamish, is it? Most repulsive of all are its frail and useless notions of order and sanity. If too much weight is placed upon them, they snap. How does it live, I hear you ask? How does this poor, pathetic specimen survive in today's harsh and irrational world? The sad answer is not very well. Faced with the insurmountable fact that humanity's existence is mad, random, and pointless, 1 in 8 of them crack up and go stark, slithering. Who can blame them in a world as psychotic as this? Any other response would be crazy. Now, who wants to throw tiny rocks at the specimen? $5 per pebble. Come on. Throw rocks at this average man. Throw rocks and shove. You, sir, the red one with the horns and the tail. You're not allowed to have pets in the tent, unfortunately. You can keep the night guards, but the gimp boy will have to be strapped outside to a pole or something. I don't know. Anyway, here on the left we have the man that is not a man. A man who's not a woman, and a woman who's not a man either. We have the dog. One of the most fiercest of things that humanity has produced through its meddling in the genetic circles of life. It screeches in the night and spits acid.
I can't believe I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You enjoy the show, Billy?
Yes.
Good. Come on, sweetheart. Well, let's go to the big top and check out the show.
Yes, honey. That normal man creature was really quite odd, don't you think?
Yes, he was.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, venture into the big top, the colorful tent of joy and pain. The place where your eyeballs shall drink colors and shapes of unknowable things, while your very heart beats out in Morse code. The Good Will Hunting screenplay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, go forth into the big tent and do not fear, for fear is the mind killer. Enjoy the show. It shall be your last. This way, please. Come, come, come. For I, Jebediah Springsteen, am the master of the big top. Come, come.
See, honey, and you were worried that something horrible might happen. Now, oh my.
Dad, every single person in the crowd is now a clown. There's not a single citizen left who is without makeup and ridiculously oversized pants and shoes. I'm scared.
Oh, I'm sure it's some sort of contest. Let's go to the big top.
Dad!
Oh, stop it! Everything is perfectly sane here in this wonderful circus of insects and clowns. So many clowns. But anyway, let's watch the show at the very least.
Dad! There are horrible things happening!
Don't worry about it. Look, we don't have enough information to think that this is some sort of horrible pan-dimensional circus spider god that assimilates its victims by turning them into clowns. Bloodthirsty clowns with dead animal eyes that crave the sweet and succulent flesh of their friends and family members. I mean, this whole circus can't be just one sentient creature from another dimension that assimilates victims by turning them into clowns. I mean, that would be just ridiculous. I mean, there's a human man as the ringmaster. How could you explain that?
Let's just go watch the show.
See? There we go. You know, let's just watch the show and everything will be fine. Perfectly all right. Hello everyone, I'm back here, we're in the big top now, and we're seated here. You know, Billy has some popcorn, you know, Honey's got a corn dog. I'm gonna give you my corn dog later. Anyway, we're just waiting for the show to start, and there we go, it's starting now.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, greetings and salutations. This is your friend and compatriot, Jebediah Springsteen here. And today, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I shall be taking you to a place where sentient custard creatures of indefinable sexual preference dance in the sky, a place where matter is not restrained by the whore of quantum physics. Today, ladies and gentlemen, you shall step into a place more horrifying and yet at the very same time more sexually stimulating than anything or anyone Victoria's Secret could offer you. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, may I please introduce to you our very first act of this evening. Dr. Friedrichs von Pumperdinck, the great and terrible. Ladies and gentlemen, please give this wondrous man a round of applause.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages. I am Dr. Pumperdinck at your service. And today, I shall be performing live surgery underneath this big tub. Well, for all those out there whose eyes instantly implode at the very sight of my glorious visage, please let me describe myself in most hideous detail. I am a tall, thin young man of about 23. My face is that of a handsome Italian man. A George Clooney, if you will.
No, you're not. You're fucking a spider.
I'm sorry. Who was that out there who said that?
I did. You look like a fucking spider. A giant spider made from bits of human flesh. Like somebody took a bunch of skin, sewed it all together, and shoved a hideous malformed creature into it. A thing made of bone in the shape of a giant half-man, half-spider creature. You're also wearing a blood-stained doctor's coat and one of those weird circular mirror thingamabobs on your head. Your hands are long, and your fingers are doubly so, tipped with terrifying black talons.
Well, I see your eyes have not exploded from the sheer handsomeness of my appearance. But you see, I need a volunteer for the show to go on, so I choose you. Come here, little boy.
I'm a girl!
Doesn't matter! Your gender will soon be meaningless. Come down, come down.
You gotta be fucking kidding me. Piss off!
Come on, don't be a coward. Come down here. I won't bite. I promise at least that.
Piss off!
Clones! Bring him here! Strap him to the table! Strap him to the table!
Oi! Oi! Get the hell off me! Jesus Christ, you bastard! Let go of me! Where did all these clowns come from?
Yes! Yes! Strap him to the table! No! Put the gag in his mouth! Put the gag on its mouth! Yeah! Now, ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls of all ages, today you will witness before your very eyes the mutilation of the human frame. Bring me my knives! Bring me my knives! Now, let us begin. Now, you see this before you. These things are called lungs.
Yeah, you can't hear
bastard. What's the worst you can do? That's nothing. Right then. Here. Let me show you something else. This, ladies and gentlemen, is his heart. Let's see how it tastes. Yummy.
Yeah, hope it gives you indigestion, you fucking bastard.
Oh, you think you can be smart, eh? Well. There you go. You have no more heart. What do you have to say about that?
I didn't need it anyway.
How are you still alive? How are you still breathing? It's impossible. I just took out your lungs and ate your heart. How are you still alive?
I tell you why. Tell me, please. I need to know.
Come a little closer. I'll whisper it to you.
All right, what is it?
That, ladies and gentlemen, is what we call brutal dismemberment by fucking teeth.
The show seemed so perfectly normal and fun and full of whimsy. I mean, my wife loved it. Billy loved it. They fought and stopped complaining. I loved it as well. I mean, it was a great, wholesome show for all the family to enjoy. I mean, we stayed through, like, the full 3 hours of the show. The great Jebediah Springsteen brought out his sons. One being a mechanical inspector of the police, filled to the brim with insidious gadgets, and the other one, a weirdly put together chimera with a monica. Is it yarmulke? Yarmulke, yeah. With a yarmulke, and who was also an inspector of the police. And they fought to the death for our amusement. Of course, you know, the loser got stitched back together, of course, you know. It is a family-friendly show. Then a clown necromancer came out with a legion of mammoth bones reanimated, doing tricks for us, like standing on, one of those, you know, very, very strong blow-up dolls. Many other great shows. After this point, everything kind of blurred into one frowning, hideous, gawking face after the other. I don't know what was going on, but the last thing I remember was the floor of the arena opened up and revealed a hideous mouth filled with an uncountable row of teeth that screamed and spat fluid at the crowd. Everyone thought this was just part of the show. And then the circus tent came alive. It grew gigantic spidery legs from out its sides and raised up on them. It turned out that the circus, the whole thing, as it seems, was nothing more but a gigantic, multi-dimensional creature from an unknown part of space-time. A sentient, big-top beetle clown from another dimension that assimilated our townsfolk by turning them into clowns. I tried to save as many people as I possibly can. You know, the townsfolk rebelled, and those who weren't transformed into clowns fought back, and our relatives came, well, the town's relatives came from the sea, from our neighboring city that lives underneath the waters, all the old folks came back up and fought the clown horde, restrained as many people as they could, put down those who, you know, could not have been saved. Jebediah Springsteen, the ringleader, stood up top the conical, the gigantic conical hat that this hideous, sentient, beetle-top clown monstrosity, shooting at our, at the citizens with a laser gun, laughing. Apparently this multidimensional sentient circus tent creature was his wife. Me and him had an epic showdown on top of its head. Lasers were fired, guns were fired. It all ended on the rooftops of Innsmouth in an epic duel, sword to sword, cutlass to cutlass, you know, then eventually hand to hand. I wish I had recordings of this. It was quite an epic battle, I gotta say. The family gimp boy, you know, took the brunt of all the strikes that were meant for me, because I used him as a living shield multiple times. He's all right. He had worse. My wife fought back bravely. So did my son. He did great. He decapitated a clown with one of his tentacles. Many clowns fell dead by his sweet, innocent child's tentacles. My wife protecting him like any mother should. And when things seemed lost, and that our town would be doomed once again, Dagon, the patron god of the city, arose from the deep and fought against the gigantic, sentient, big-top tent from another dimension, who was also a clown and Jebediah Springsteen's wife. They had an epic battle of kaiju proportion, destroying most of the town, but in the end, Dagon snapped the creature's neck and fed upon its entrails. And those who were turned into clowns went back to being normal. Well, as normal as, you know, they could, you know, still, you know, the brainwashing of the clown what's the right word I'm looking for? They still were slightly brainwashed from the assimilating power of this giant sentient big top creature beetle thing. But, you know, we tried to save as many as we could. And struck by grief and despair, Jebediah Springsteen, in revenge, pulled out a gun and shot at my wife and son, screaming that a wife for a wife, my beautiful wife, my sweet, she protected my son from the blasts of the laser gun, taking all of the shots to the back and head. Jebediah Springsteen escaped on a hot air balloon manned by his hideous sons, vowing revenge as I screamed at him, saying that I would find him and I would destroy him for what he'd done. Jeremy, the family night gaunt, protected them as much as he could from the hordes of clowns. He murdered as many as he could and did his best, and after partaking of the numerous clown flesh around him, came to my wife as she lay lifeless. I from the rooftops
I hoped for the best. I hoped she was only wounded. Maybe there was a there was still a chance for her to be all right. I climbed down and saw Jeremy kneeling next to her. Crying. Not really crying. Nightgaunts don't have eyes. I mean, like, making a noise. A terrible noise of regret and sadness. Like any good pet should when something horrible happens. Billy. Oh, God, Billy. He was shaking her. Asking if she was all right. He was in shock. Oh, God. I took him away from her. I knelt down and saw if, how bad the damage was. Maybe there was a chance she was still alive. Her blood... her blood was on my hands. Green and glistening. I can never forget it. She looked at me, holding on to life. For I don't know if she was alive or not, but it seemed to me like there was a brief spark in her eyes. And when I turned her, and then, oh God. Nothing. My wife. My beautiful wife. God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Esmeralda. Oh, God. Oh, God. There was nothing I could do. Jeremy started to howl in despair, as all nightgaunts do when somebody dies. But instead of it being filled with joy and glee like any other normal person, whenever any other normal person were to die, this time his howl was filled with despair and that animal shrieking matched the pain in my heart. I had to get Billy out of there. Sure, he was the bringer of the... I'm sorry. I had to get Billy out of there. Sure, he was the bringer of the apocalypse, but I couldn't let him see this. I took him up to his aunt's house. The funeral was a day or two later. A mass funeral where all the remains of the dead were given back to the sea from whence they came. There was no time to grieve, for all those who survived had to start rebuilding the town. I helped, obviously. That's why I wasn't able to record for a while there. My work, I was far too busy with working on the town and consoling Billy. The poor kid. He was there alone when his mom died. Oh, God. I'm going to continue podcasting. But for my wife's memory, I'll continue. I'm gonna be strong for Billy. I swear this, Jebediah Springsteen, if you're listening to this, I swear by all the fires of Hades that when I find you, and I will, the devils in hell will shriek and blanch in disgust at what I do to you before I hand you over personally to Satan. I promise this, Springsteen. You will die by my hand. Goodbye, everyone. I'll get back to you soon.